walking in newness of life. Life is a gift from God. Do you believe the gospel? God gives us life by giving us his spirit. You believe the gospel, the spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. That's a given, no question about it. But from the time I believed in Revelation 22, what's the protocol? What do I do? How do I live this life until I get to the glorious city? And the Bible is crystal clear about it. It's just as clear about this as it is salvation itself. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul don't make any bones about it. Paul simply tells us that God, the gospel of the grace of God is salvation. You believe that glorious gospel, you're saved from time through eternity. Not probationary life. You got eternal life. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, is it? Paul said, I marvel that you so soon remove. I'm in 1, right? Because y'all know I'll superimpose verses and stuff, and y'all just let me go. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Well, what is the grace of Christ? What, the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, unto another gospel, which is, that's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. He said, I'm so afraid that you may pervert this grace gospel message, right? By including works, by including law, by including whatever it is you want to throw in to make it fit what you believe, to make it fit your little tribe. I mean, you see it, turn the television on. Watching television last week, I forgot to tell you all this. It was so funny. This guy was on, he says that somebody gave him a call from the Undertaker parlor. His dad had just passed away. He said, I told him to come and touch the television, and at that point of contact, we're going to be in agreement, and we're going to raise your father from the dead. And it happened. So my question is, how are you going to talk to this kid if you're on television? How are you going to tell him to come and, hey, you kid at the funeral? See, they don't think. But the idea is, this is what my gospel produced. My gospel produced life, physical life. So what happened if that really did happen? And his father got resurrected and died again and went to hell. So if that's your purpose of believing the gospel, man, you're in the wrong place. The purpose of believing the gospel is that you're a sinner, and you're a sinner, and you're reconfigured or you're regened because of the gospel message. You believe the gospel, God comes to live on the inside of you. That's the thing that makes you brand new. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? In the very life that I give you, is the life I can live through you if you allow me to. And see, we think it's some old big thing, man. How does God live through me? You know, we think, you know, you see these people with their hands flowing, as Greg used to say, and they're all looking up, and, you know, oh, God is really living through me. And couldn't recite the gospel if their life depended on it. But I'm so loving, and I'm so kind, and I'm so, well, you might be all of that, but it's not the work of God. You know, God can work in us and through us in the simplest of ways. I mean, if you go through the scripture and you read what God did through some people, it just seems so insignificant. You know, it just seems like, well, I mean, that's the work of God? That's the work of God. In a given situation, we can always pray and say, Lord, you have to do this, or my flesh will attempt it. It's how simple it is. Watch how Paul explains it. Same book, Galatians. Go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And some of these things are so simple. They are so, so simple. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul keeps it very simple. He says, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, what's he talking about? Rules and regulation, laws. See, we look at old lying and stealing. That's not what he's talking about. He said, "You stand firm in a grace gospel, and then let Christ lead and direct you." That's what he's saying. He's saying, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, that's the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you think circumcision makes you right with God, then there's no profit in the cross. Christ doing some dumb things, or God doing some dumb things. You'll kill your son, and you could have achieved all this by the works of the flesh or by the law. So Paul is saying, no. Paul said, "If I testify again, every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law." Well, that's a killer right there. How many have ever done the whole law? Zero. Nobody. So what Paul is saying, no, you don't try and walk by law. Because you try and walk by law, read Romans chapter 7, you're going to die. The law is a condemner. The law says the soul that sinned, it shall die. So Paul said, let's learn how to walk in this message, this grace message. And watch how Paul explains verse 4. He said, "Christ hath become none effect to you, whosoever justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." So falling from grace ain't falling in sin. Falling from grace is falling to any other system that's going to save you. But he's talking here about the law. If you think there's any other system out there that can save you, you have fallen from grace. We started this thing, Paul said, God who have called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So what he's saying, you've fallen from the gospel to another gospel, which will never please God. Verse 5. He said, but we through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith or by believing. Through what Spirit? The Spirit that is given to you the moment that you believe. That is our life. God gives us the Spirit that seals us until the day of redemption. Now that same Spirit said, let me live through you. I am your life. Paul says, no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Live through the Spirit. Paul says, look, don't quench the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to live its life through you. Let the Spirit answer your lost neighbor. Let your spirit witness to a Jehovah's Witness, not your flesh, because sometimes my flesh wants a witness. Anybody ever witnessed with their flesh to a religious person? When you say, you know, like Greg, you said, that's so stupid. That's the flesh. Because Paul says sometimes you were in this same position. Foolish. Fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh. Sound familiar? Billy, that sound familiar? That's kind of what you was talking about? But you see, a lot of people think that they're okay. You know the old saying, I don't smoke or chew or hang out with girls that do? What Paul is saying here, let God the Spirit teach you how to live. And Paul says, look, rest of me, say, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Paul said, I'm not preaching the law. That's what I used to preach. And there was no persecution to me. Everybody loved me that was on that side. But now when I preach the truth, which salvation by grace through faith, everybody's after me, right? Now look what he said in verse 13. Here's the clinker here. He said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but to love one another." Use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Can you do that? Of course you can. That's why he's warning us not to do it. See, man, you've been called to liberty. You know, it's kind of like the Israelites. Oh, God, could you repart the Red Sea so we can go back into Egypt, into slavery? Paul said, no, walk in the liberty that sin's got no dominion over you. It don't rule and reign over you as it used to be. You've been set free. You've been made whole. You're a brand new creature. Old things are old things, and new things are new things. That's what he's basically saying. And Paul said, look, walk into freedom. Well, to walk into freedom is knowing that I'm not under no law. I'm under the grace of God. I can go boldly to the throne of grace anytime I need to. That's why it's the throne of grace, not the throne of law, because you couldn't go to it. Once you broke it, you're out of here. Man, we see how much better it is to live through grace than trying to live by law. Grace is a continuous influence on our minds, on our hearts. We're constantly being, just like Paul was, I know what I deserve, but look at what God's given me. That's the way it works. The law says forgive and you be forgiven. Grace says forgive as you have been forgiven. It's just a whole nother ball game. Law says eye for an eye. Grace says turn the other cheek. The flesh says I don't think so. And then look how Paul lays it out here. Paul said, you've been called to liberty. But don't use the liberty as an occasion to the flesh. But use it for what? To love one another. Or to show love. Look at verse 17. Here's the wall. Paul said, you get this down and you got the whole thing. Paul said, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Now, that's very easy to understand, right? The flesh says, here's what I want to do, what I always done. The spirit says, new man, that's old. Learn what's new. Paul said, now it's time to use the mind. And let the mind think that you don't want to be conformed, but understand you have been transformed by what Christ has done. And that's what you constantly think. And as Paul says, if you're constantly thinking these things, you won't do all those things that the flesh used to do. Anybody read what Moses says in Hebrews chapter 11? Moses chose what? To live with the people of God than to do what? Serve the pleasures of sin, because sin is pleasurable to the flesh. Think a guy go out and get drunk because, hey, that I'm just going, you know, because the flesh enjoys it. The sexual revolution, the flesh enjoys it. But the new man said marriage is honorable in a bed undefiled. Okay, if I plant that here, now I can recall it when I'm tempted to do those type things, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Truth in, garbage out. Garbage in, truth out. Now, I would say this, immerse yourself in the Word until the Word immerse itself in you. Then, as Arnold Schwarzenegger say, you got total recall. I can call up whatever scripture I need. So Paul said, look, man, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's nowhere. Paul said those desires are ever going to go away. That's why the flesh goes to the ground. The only part of you that ever goes to the ground. You thought about that? Why? It's unfit. It will never inherit the kingdom. It can't. Full of sin, full of lust, full of all the things that we grew up thinking that was okay. That's why James said, body without the spirit is dead. Why? Because the righteous part of you just left. And that flesh is going to the ground until Christ can come back and make it okay by glorification. It's not complicated. And then Paul lays out, look at, Paul said, let me give you an example if you're having a problem with it. Let me just tell you what some of the works of the flesh is. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Have I said enough? And look at the last one, heresies. Turn your TV on any religious channel and see how much heresies is still out. That's the flesh. If you think, I think that I can be saved or controlled by anything other than the grace and love of God, that's heresy. Because it can't happen. You think Satan is going to divide himself? You think Satan is going to destroy his own house? So he's going to tell you what you're doing is fine. But when I look at the list that Paul lays out, I say, well, no, it's not fine, because it seems to me that's works of the spirit, works of the flesh. And look at the opposite. The works here is a continual practice, is what Paul is talking about. Continual practice. You watch the commercials on TV now? I mean, they used to. Can you imagine some of the commercials that they got on TV now about 50 years ago? I look at some of the commercials, I'm going, I don't believe they're showing that at 6 o'clock in the evening. A commercial, not X-rated movie. It's a commercial. Two men with lip locks. I remember the first time I saw it, I'm going, wait a minute. I had to wind it back. And now it's commonplace. Totally commonplace. And God forbid, I won't even get into politics. What this guy believed versus what that guy, you simply look at it and say, is that the flesh? Is that the spirit? And you know right away it's not the spirit. It's the flesh. Paul said, look, man, if you compare the flesh with the spirit, now look at the spirit. Look in verse 22. What about joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, meekness, temperance? Sounds pretty good stuff, huh? So you know right away, and I know right away when I am quenching the spirit. If this shows up, then it's God. If the other thing shows up, it's me. It's the old me. It's my flesh. And Paul said, look, just renew the mind, renew the mind, renew the mind, renew the mind. And then, but later in Galatians, look in verse 23, 25. Paul says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, that's a position. That's walking, 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 always walking in the Spirit. He said, let us not desire, verse 25, let us not desire vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That sound familiar? Sound like Washington, don't it? Oh, but they're all Christians. These guys are all Christians. We're going to do this for y'all. Y'all can tell we're Christian. No, you're not. No, you're not. One side's got this sin, the other side's got that sin, and you got Christianity in the middle saying, I'm going to choose this guy because he's got lesser sin than that guy. Well, that's fine if that's what you want to say, but don't believe that they're Christians doing the work of God, because they're not. They're doing the work that's going to benefit them. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Same writer here, Paul. Paul said, let me just show you where you are. But first of all, I want to show you where you was. And then when you put the two together, you get an idea of where you should be, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, everybody there? Paul writes this, 1, verse 1, and you, that's you, that's me if you're a believer, who were past tense, dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, as lost people, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, I like to begin in the next verse. But God, who's rich in mercy, by his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were, past tense, dead in sins, has he quickened and made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now Paul is saying the same thing he said in Galatians, right? When you were lost, you were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Galatians, he says, don't fulfill the desires and the lust of the flesh. Paul said that used to be. That's what you used to be. But now you are alive. You've been made alive by the Spirit of God that lives in you. So walk accordingly. It's over and over. Let's learn how to walk in newness of life. Not in the oldness of the flesh. Let us walk in newness of life. Man, think about it. God said, look, here's what I've done for you. I picked you up, took you out of the mud, totally cleansed you, washed you, set you in myself, and I set you apart for service to me. Because, by the way, I'm in heaven. You're my hands on earth. You're my eyes on earth. So just fulfill those things that you allow me to do in and through you. This is not a complicated issue. Here's what you got. Here's what your appointment is. I give you the total authority, because that's what power is. It's what God's power is in us. It's authority. It's authority. You got the authority, not let sin dominate you. And that's the whole issue. Don't let it dominate you. Peter says in his epistle, think it's 1 Peter. Peter said, when they think it's strange, when you don't run to excess. Peter's not saying don't go to parties. Peter's not saying don't take a drink. Peter's saying don't go to the excess as they do and fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's all of them saying. John says the same thing in his first epistle. Paul says, look, when Christ, who is our life, appear, we shall be like him. Man, if that ain't motivation, that's why Paul said, waiting for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, now, how we ought to live, says here, waiting in anticipation. I want you to explain Christ coming to snatch you out of here and you just cursing somebody out, giving them half of your mind, and all of a sudden you're going to rapture. You might feel kind of like Peter, right? He said, no, represent me. And you can only do that by allowing me to do it in and through you. You've already accepted me. I gave you my life. Man, live it out. Live it out here on earth. Until you get to Revelation 22, it's going to be warfare. The flesh is going to want to do a lot of things that the Spirit says no to, and vice versa. Paul said, look, grow in the knowledge and grace of him. And a lot of that stuff we can ward off by simply submitting and just getting out of his way. He says, okay, Lord, I know what I want to do. What is it you want to do? Can you imagine if we did that in every marriage, if we did that in every relationship, did that on every job, if we did that at the White House? Well, forget the White House. But if we did that, do y'all realize how great America really would be? Great, right? The whole world would be great, right? But it can't happen. Why? Because of the flesh. And we don't want to look like them. That's what they do. Paul says right here in what we just read in Ephesians. Paul said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Of the flesh and the mind. Think about that. Doesn't bring back memories? Days of Noah? And their thoughts were evil continually? You know what continually means? It was a lifestyle, right? And God said, enough. Enough. So man, if we simply walk in a provision that God has made for us, that is his righteousness, his justification, his sanctification, knowing that glorification is coming, man, people ought to be looking at us saying, man, there's something peculiar about that guy, that girl, something's peculiar. I mean, they're unreal because they're supernatural. God said, man, all these things I've done for you. And what I ask you to do is simply believe in me, or believe on me, and then believe in me. Because whatever I say I can do, through you, I can do it. And Paul lays that out in Galatians chapter 5. Peace, long suffering. Oh, well, we don't want all that because somebody's going to call me a wimp. Well, that's what they did to Christ. They called him a wimp. You a king, you almighty, and you're going to die. You're going to let somebody take your life. And that's exactly what he did. He allowed them to kill him. Could have stopped at any time. But they saw it as weakness, and I see it as victory. You should see it as victory. Man, if he hadn't done that, where would we be? Don't know, but I can tell you where we all will end up being: hell. Say, man, you can't. I know the flesh is weak, but I've empowered you with myself. Let it be weak, let it be dead, and just let me rule and reign and watch the difference. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. One of my favorite verses. 1 verse 6. Paul writes this. Paul said, being confident. Now, you know, it's one thing to just believe something, but it's another thing to believe it and be confident in it, right? I believe I can jump over the Grand Canyon, but if I'm afraid to try, then... But if I got confidence, I'm going to go and jump over the Grand Canyon, right? Like the guy asked the question. Do we need a parachute to skydive? Anybody believe that? Anybody believe you need a parachute to skydive? No, you don't. But you need one to skydive a second time. So Paul is saying here, man, I'm confident. I'm confident of this very thing. He which begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If there's anything done in us in this life, who is it that has to do it? Christ. He says, I will do it. I saved you for a purpose. I know the purpose. So I think I might be able to do it, right? So just let me do it. Allow me to do it. And have confidence that I can do it. And look what Paul says a little bit further down. Same book. Philippians. Look in verse 11. Paul says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory of God, unto the glory and praise of God. Only way we're going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, let the one who produces righteousness do it in and through us. And I got good news and I got bad news. Too many times we don't, but you'd be surprised how many times you do. Yeah, many times, each and every one of you will allow God to do what he needs to do in and through you in certain circumstances. Not as circumstances I know I fall short. But I can honestly say, I'm not back here. That's old me. I'm over here. New me. Once you come to that conclusion, that's a great beginning. Because now you just need to recognize what new looks like versus what old looks like, right? I ain't gonna cuss and fuss with you, but I'll have an intelligent conversation with you. And I'd like to tell you why I can do that. It's because of the grace of God. Would you like to hear more? Go curse somebody out in Home Depot this evening and say, oh man, let me share the gospel with you after I can curse you out. What you think they might say? It's going to produce in me what it produced in you. I don't want it. Husband, wives, children, parents. Try this coming week to let God work in you those things that he wants you to work out. And see how much better it is. Oh, it hurts sometimes. Because it took me 40 years to get saved. So I had a whole bunch of flesh stored up. And I think it's going to take God 40 years to debrief me. But at least the more truth I get in me, the more garbage comes out of me. And it don't mean when you get that garbage out, it don't try and come back, because it will. That's what the flesh is. The flesh says, do 1, 2, and 3, get up in the morning, repeat. 1, 2, 3, get up in the morning, repeat. 1, 2, 3, get up in the morning, repeat. Spirit of God says the same thing. Use the authority that I've given you. Use the authority that I've given you. Use the authority that I've given you. Use the authority that over and over. And that authority is walking in newness of life. And he disciplines us when we don't. For one reason. So that we can come back and walk in newness of life. Isn't that amazing? He said, man, I'm going to discipline you so that you can enjoy that gift that I've given you, righteousness. I want you to walk in it. Boy, that's tough. I mean, you almost need a word study on walking in newness of life, right? Then Paul says in Galatians, the first Paul said, look, circumcision profits nothing. The law profits nothing. You know what profits? A new creation. A new creature, and that's you. Paul said, that's what God looks for. You understanding who you are, who he's made you. And he wants you to stay right there. That's why Paul used words like steadfast, confident. Stay right there. Don't move. Don't let anybody push you off God's purpose for you. Because God's purpose for you is simply to walk in him. I said, man, how do I do that? Well, just scripture's pretty simple. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. This is new. This is old. Well, how do I know what's new? Look, I know right away what's new and what's old. Soon as it gets here in my head, I know whether it's old or new. So I take a gun, put it to my head, and I shoot it. Not me. I shoot the thought. You're not coming out today. That's where I used to be. You're not bringing me back there. He said, but man, what if they get by you? What if they turn to 1 John chapter 1? Because I guarantee you, some gonna get through. I don't care how tall a barrier is, it's just gonna get through. That's just this sinful flesh that we live in. In 1 John chapter 1, look in verse 5. Everybody got it? It said, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, right? For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it seems to me what John is saying here, if you're in Christ, you're continually cleansed, right? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sound like a contradiction, John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we, John is talking about we, there's us, right? Definite. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a lie and his word is not in us. Paul said Christ came into the world to save sinners, right? Whom I am chief. John here is not saying you commit one sin, you confess one sin. That is not, do you realize if you miss one, you're hell bound? He's saying confess what? Man, that you sin. That's one of my constant confessions. Lord, thank you for cleansing today. You simply cleanses me because of the blood. You forgave me because you forgave all sin at the cross. And this is an acknowledgement that, man, I need you. I simply need you because I still commit sin. Why Paul said he can't, look, Paul said, I'm least of the apostles. But Paul, what are you saying? Paul said, man, the old sin nature rears his head constantly. And I'm simply saying, Lord, you're right when you say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You ever looked at that verse? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It didn't say all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. You continue to come short of the glory of God, so it's on God himself to keep you. And that's how he does it, by cleansing you, by washing you. John 13, when he talks about washing feet, Peter said, oh no, you're not going to, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't hang out with me because you're going to get dirty in the world. But if you believe your feet need washing, I'll continually cleanse them. That's what he's saying. Oh no, it's not a salvation verse. I know you've heard that. What do you see death, burial, and resurrection here? We, he's talking to believers. We. John said, we confess, not if they confess their sins. So God is in the forgiving business. God is in the cleansing business. I'll keep you cleansed. I'll keep you forgiven. Because I've already sealed you with myself. So man, it's all about walking in newness of life. Not in the oldness of the flesh. And in some place you see the oldness of the letter or the oldness of the law, which always pertains to the flesh. The law was given to Israel to what? To keep the flesh just a little bit in control. Never was meant for salvation. If there had been a law that could have given life, then Christ is dead in vain. He didn't give it to save lives. He gave it to control a nation. He gave you Christ to control you and Christ to control me. Think about it. Man, the Spirit has been all over the place. It's been in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the very last move was from all those places to live on the inside of you and me. That's personal. You think God wanted you saved for eternity? He said, I'm going to fix it where you can't break it. I'm going to come in and I'm going to live inside of you. Lock the door and that's it. Then I'm going to stamp you sealed. For how long? Till the day of redemption. Well, what happened? Well, the day of redemption, that's it. That's the final act. Redemption, you got the presence of sin. The old body is no longer. So you're good to go now. But you need to have confidence in that. You need to know that God wants you to walk in newness of life, not in oldness of the flesh. Doing those things that were unpleasing to God. God has made us brand new. Let's walk in that newness of life. Lord, again, we thank you for not temporal life. We thank you for eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for the Spirit that is our life. And we thank you, Lord, that you've got to lay out what our mission is. You call us ambassadors. You call us, your voice. You call us your legs, your eyes. You want to use us, Lord, to evangelize, to simply just be kind, just to tell somebody about your goodness. And that it's not by works which I have done or which you've done, but it's by his mercy he saves us. Since you believe the gospel, and that's your ticket to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye, we're out of here because of the rapture. Either way, Lord, it's all on you. You did it all. You finished the work. And Lord, teach us how to walk in it. Teach us how to come to you for whatever we need, Lord. There's no big problems. There's no little problems. There's no, for us, they're just problems, and you're the problem solver. And we thank you, Lord, for that gospel message. And Lord, I pray that everybody here has believed that you died for their sins and was buried, and that you raised them from the dead. That's the gospel message. And Lord, we thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.